All right, I'm going to start with what might seem to be an unusual text for Christmas Day. Open your Bible to Luke chapter 24. I'm going to read verses 13 to 32. This is after the resurrection, so way past Christmas. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Okay, you got the picture? These guys are coming. Oh, yeah, we got room. Let's go. Yeah, really? Awesome. And this is one family at Crossroads. So you know what you're in for. And that was a lie. But anyway, pretty close. Back to the text. So you got the picture. What's going on here? This is after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. A couple of guys are on their way to Emmaus, about 7 miles outside of Jerusalem, and this guy that they don't recognize, for whatever reason, starts walking along with them. Well, this guy happens to be Jesus. We already know that. Okay, go into the story. Verse 17. He asked them, "What are you guys talking about? What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? You're not from around here, are you, boy? And do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us." That happens at Crossroads a lot, too. "Some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going farther, but they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them." You know, it's interesting. There's a passage in the New Testament that says, you know, we should be nice to people that we don't know because they might be angels. This text takes that up a notch. You should be nice to people you don't know because they might be Jesus. Verse 30, "When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?'" Now you might say, what does all this have to do with Christmas? Well, when I think of Christmas, I think of a lot of things. I think of, for instance, presents. So let's talk about presents for just a moment. Some kids are like, "Mom, Dad, you really let us down." I'm almost ashamed to admit we didn't even get a tree this year. It was just a weird year. So our kids decorated. What even is that plant that they put ornaments on? It's like this tropical plant. It's just bizarre. You should come to the Roberts house. Anyway, but let's talk about presents for just a moment, because presents play a central role in our Christmas practices. And think about this. Our church is highly involved in an organization called Samaritan's Purse and their project every year, Operation Christmas Child. And we, I forget, you know, 300 or some odd boxes that we put together for children around the world. And, you know, as we talked about going through that, for some children in the world, that box is the only gift they will receive, not just this year, but maybe ever in their lives. And the reality is we laugh at a picture like this because our living room looks like this from time to time. We had Christmases like that. Kim and I had a real epiphany when our kids were younger. You guys are too young to remember. But my mom, and I've told this story before at Crossroads, so I'll be brief. My mom was addicted to QVC. That's the shop at home channel before they had the internet. And one day, one Christmas season, we walked into our family room. Actually, we didn't walk into our family room. We walked up to the edge of our family room because that was as far as we could get because there was just stuff. Not my first choice of words, but there was just stuff package wrap, and it was all over. And it was at that point, we took about half the stuff and stuck it in our closet, and it became birthday presents and arrival day presents and all those kind of things. We were stocked for a couple of years. But it just sort of struck us that man, we are really kind of getting caught up in all the presents. And who doesn't like presents? I mean, I like presents. Presents are good. You should get presents. Presents are a big part of this time of year. Buying, selling, giving, receiving, wrapping, unwrapping, returning, regifting. It's very easy. It's very easy for Christmas, and not just Christmas, birthdays, anniversaries, and so on, to become about the presents. And so I want to talk very briefly about the problem with presents. Understand, I'm not against presents. In fact, it's not too late. I don't mind if you bring me something late. Okay? But here's the first thing. The problem with presents is in our minds, receiving beats giving. Now, that's not what the Bible says. What the Bible says in Acts 20:35 is actually the words of Jesus found in the book of Acts. Jesus says it's more blessed to give than to receive. But when we get so caught up in the present mode, and I don't mean the present times, I mean that you get all about presents, we tend to think about, you know, what's coming next. And we easily focus on receiving. Here's what I want to challenge us to do. And this is the great thing about Operation Christmas Child and things like that, our sharing Christmas tree. We've talked about this before at Crossroads. Teach your kids young that Christmas is a time to give, not just to receive. And it's great to take your kids shopping. You know, most of the time we want to go shopping without the kids so we can buy them stuff and they won't know what it is. Instead of taking them and helping them to pick out stuff that kids their age would like, that they know that they're actually getting for somebody else. It's a great lesson because we want to teach our kids and we need to teach ourselves, reemphasize with ourselves that it really is better to give than to receive. And so we should aspire to be good givers. You know, this is the time of year as well that a lot of us give gifts, and there are gifts that we give and gifts that we have to give. You know what I mean? Maybe you have a boss or an employee or coworker, or neighbor, spouse, whatever. You know, you got to buy them something, right? And your heart's just not in it. She's adorable. That's not what we want to be. We don't want to just give out of obligation. We want to give from the heart to bless other people. You know, the reality is, if we give out of obligation, that gift might be appreciated. You know, if you feel obligated to give me chocolate, you may not enjoy giving that gift, but I will enjoy that gift. Too bad for you, but I'll enjoy that. Thank you very much. However, if you give a gift because you want to give, not just to me, to anybody, then you enjoy the gift. You know what I mean? If you're giving out of obligation, that's no fun. But if you're giving because you really want to give, because giving really is better than receiving. When we give more than we receive more than we give. That's a great saying. Problem with presents is, you know, we don't appreciate what we already have. Take your Bible and go to Philippians chapter 4. Everybody knows Philippians 4:13. It's almost always out of context. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. That has very little to do with winning the Super Bowl or anything like that. Philippians 4, starting in verse 12, says this: I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Now, we're going to go back and read a little bit more out of this text here in just a second, but how many of us wish that we could just experience peace, contentment? Is that him? Give him to me. Come here. I'm open.
Finally, some peace.
We'll give Daddy a break. He was playing bass today. I think this is just a cute outfit. Anyway, how many of us just wish we could have some peace, like Ralph now has? Yeah. You're okay, buddy. And this is what Paul is talking about. He says, you know, I've had stuff. I've been broke. I've been rich. I've lived in nice houses. I've been on the streets. but I've learned how to be content. And here he goes on, he says this, I've learned how to be content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. That's what that verse means. It's not just about achieving and accomplishing and stuff like that. It's about being able to experience God's presence, peace, and joy, no matter what your circumstances or situation is. He's okay. He's all right. Think about this. The problem with presence, sometimes, this maybe isn't true for all of us. You want it back yet? He's actually being really good. So. Can you catch?
No.
We often just don't appreciate what we already have. This is what made me think of the road to Emmaus and that whole story. Those guys were beat. They were defeated. They were depressed. They were discouraged. Why? Because Jesus was gone. The one that they thought he was the one. And he was gone. Yeah. I see who's next. And what they didn't realize is Jesus was standing right there. How many times have we not realized what was right in front of us? The last problem with presence is simply that, oops, is we don't understand what we really need. Go to the Gospel of John. John chapter 14. Great passage. I'm just going to read this one verse out of it. Verse 9. I'll give you the context. Jesus says to his followers, this is the night before he's crucified. He's telling them all kinds of things like, I'm leaving. Where are you going? I go to prepare a place for you. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And then one of his followers says, how can we know the way? How do we know? You know, just show us the Father. If you could just show us God. And Jesus is like, and this is what he says. Verse 9, don't you know me, Philip? Don't you know me even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. You see, there are a lot of cool things I'd like to have for Christmas. It's too late, I know. Stores are closed. And there are the higher things. I'm kind of stoked because all of my kids are here today. So I'm happy about that because they live in New York and Baltimore, and so I'm happy to have them here. So that's a big deal to me. I don't know if you guys got me anything, but should I tell them I don't care if they got me anything?
No.
I'm not going to tell them that, okay. But more than that, our greatest need, I love what one author said, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent an IT specialist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. That's what Christmas is all about. Our greatest need is not the latest, greatest, newest, shiniest, biggest, best, most expensive, or even human relationships. I mentioned it last night. Think in relationship to your family. Think also in relationship to God. If you never received another gift, would it be enough?
Yes.
Good answer. Good answer.
Yes.
Parents are off the hook. But you know what I'm saying? You see, and this is the problem with presents. I loved it when our kids were young, like this age. This is great. I love it. Half the fun is just watching them unwrap the stuff. When they're really young is watching them unwrap the stuff, and then they just want to unwrap the next one. They don't even care. Look, it's a new. I don't care what it is. I want to unwrap another one. It's just the unwrapping process. There's all of that great fun. But you know, maybe it's time to just stop unwrapping, appreciate what we have, and recognize that if we have Jesus, we have all that we need. And they only sound similar. There's not an etymological connection here. But I chose Emmaus, amongst other things, because it sort of sounds like Emmanuel. And I can't help but think that those guys who were walking along the road on the way to Emmaus didn't realize that Jesus was walking right with them. He was Emmanuel, God with us. Do you realize that God is with you today? That Jesus wants to come into your life, be your Lord and your Savior, to live with you and to guide you, to strengthen you, to give you joy and peace, the contentment that Paul talked about over in Philippians, all of it, it's right there. It's not under the tree. It's not from the North Pole. It's not on a sleigh. It's not from Amazon. It's right there. Emmanuel, God with us. Let's stand together. I'll pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we have the opportunity to gather together in fellowship and prayer and worship and to look at your word and just enjoy each other's company and having the kids in here. And Lord, we're grateful for every good and perfect gift that we've received, whether we've taken time to appreciate it or not. Lord, teach us to appreciate what we have. But more than the stuff that we have and even the relationships that we have, Lord, might we appreciate your presence. Lord, you are here in this place, not just in this building. When we leave, we won't walk away from you. You'll walk with us along our road to our Emmaus. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here who's never made a decision to be a follower of Jesus, that maybe they've been interested in church. They like church. They like Jesus, but they've never made that personal decision and said, you know what, I get it. Jesus died for me. I want him to be my Savior and my Lord. Let today be the day that they hear you call, Lord, that they respond in faith to your call. And Lord, may we all grow together as we look to walk with you, as you walk with us along the road. In Jesus' name.